Will an Evergrande debt default send global stocks into a bear market? Is the U.S. facing a giant fiscal cliff? And are there signs that the U.S. is going to be importing even more disinflation? Answer those questions and more on today's show. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today because we are going to dig deeper into this Evergrande situation. Finally, global investors are starting to wake up and say, hey, this could be a serious problem. Last week, it wasn't that big of a deal because stocks were generally going up. But when you see a big move down in the overnights, followed by further selling and interest rates falling in the US, it's telling you there's a risk off move going on here. How serious is it? Because there's a huge bet that Beijing will come in and bail out Evergrande. What does that mean? Does it mean they're gonna infuse them with cash? Are they gonna buy the bonds? Are they going to devalue the currency? Well, we're gonna try to answer what is Beijing likely to do. But let's catch up with the story and figure out just how deep it runs, because the contagion is starting to spread now, and perhaps for good reason. So let's look at the story of how Beijing's debt clampdown shook the foundation of a real estate colossus. We'll start here with the Wall Street Journal, because what's gone on is China's Evergrande Group turned billions of dollars in borrowed money into a dream of homeownership for millions of Chinese citizens. There's a huge demand for real estate in China, and Evergrande, being one of those companies, a property developer, said, we will meet that goal. And what it was doing was launching project after project in every Chinese province, selling apartments years. This is important to understand. They're selling apartments years before they were completed, and scratching together enough cash just to stay ahead of the massive interest bill. So I want you to be thinking as we go through this, you're buying a property that is not going to be completed for years. And at the same time, you don't realize this, but the company you're buying this from is having a massive cash flow problem. I want you to think of Evergrande almost like a gigantic real estate Ponzi scheme, because you know there's this comparison to the Lehman Brothers. And I want to address that as we go through here, but let's continue on with a story so we understand. Now, the party has ended. Years of aggressive borrowing have collided with Beijing's crackdown on debt. Okay, so this is a key thing, is Beijing said, look, we've got a problem here and the real estate market's growing too fast. We need to have a lot of real estate built because we have a lot of people we want to get into these properties, but the prices are spiraling out of control, too high, too fast, because people are speculating on them. They're buying multiple properties, they're flipping. And think of this just like the US, you know, great financial crisis of what people were doing. So what Beijing did is they put some curbs on this. Let me show you what they did. They call this the three red lines policy, and the metrics for these guidelines are a 70% ceiling on debt to asset ratio after excluding advance receipts, 100% cap on the net debt ratio, 100% cap on the short-term debt to cash ratio, and the number of lines you violate, hence the three red lines policy, is what your limit on your debt growth that's permitted. You violate all three, you can't push that at all. Now, one view could be that, well, maybe they'll back off this three red lines policy, and so far there's no indication that they're gonna do this, and it's unlikely that they will. But let's continue on the story, because the question is, you know, if you're renovating a house and you pull off some wallboard and you find rot, or you find mold, you know, is there more? Or, you know, where there's one cockroach, well, there's usually more. And that's really the issue behind this. And what this did, this crackdown, left the giant developer on the brink of collapse. Construction of Evergrande's projects in many cities have stopped, so that's important. You know, their cash flow comes from building properties and selling them. The companies face a litany of complaints, protests from suppliers, small investors, and home buyers who sank their savings into properties the company promised to deliver. So again, think of this. People are putting money in and not getting anything back. And so cash is so short, this summer the developer said it began paying bills to contractors and suppliers with unfinished apartments instead of actual money. For example, a paint supplier based in the southeastern province said Evergrande recently paid off an equivalent of $34 million in bills with three unfinished properties, which the supplier is trying to sell. So why, again, let's keep this in context. Imagine that you're owed money, a substantial amount of money. So someone comes and says, I'm going to give you an unfinished property, unfinished car, unfinished piece of art. What is the value of that? You know, if you think about, if I have a completed home, maybe it, you know, needs some fixing up, but I have a completed home. If I have a partially built home, well, what good is that? Because if you think about the resale market for unfinished things, well, you're going to have to find someone in that market who either does homes or cars or art or whoever it is that you need to finish this unfinished project. And that means they're going to have money to buy it from you or be able to go to the bank and get a loan to buy it from you because someone's got to complete the project. So what I want you to be thinking is, what is the price of an unfinished asset? Does it appreciate or probably depreciate, right? It depreciates because the seller, you know, knows that they can't complete it and they need cash now. And the buyer knows that the seller needs cash now and can't complete it. And that puts downward pressure on price. And that is not good in the real estate market because then you start to get into these upside down loan situations where prior buyers, people who finance properties, can become upside down as prices come down. What do buyers tend to do when prices are falling? Well, they step back and say, well, you know what? If prices are going to, I'll just wait because maybe they'll go down even more. And so this is not a good sign. Now, from Evergrande's standpoint, hey, if I can get rid of some of these liabilities with some worthless assets, great. But that's not where the story ends yet. Let's keep going. Former, current, and employees say layoffs are starting to add up. Well, that's a surprise. And free meals are gone. And in fact, Evergrande has even asked the local government to take over homeowners' funds held in escrow so they can't be seized in legal disputes. Now, can you imagine being a homeowner and your homeowners' fund, you know, gets taken away? Well, then it's gone. You have to replenish it or your property doesn't get maintained. So that's a smart move by Evergrande there, but that's how serious this is. Now, the looming collapse is a microcosm of China's overheated housing market, which prices have been climbing for years. Evergrande's problems and the ripple effects in the economy and social stability are the biggest test of Beijing's rejuvenated campaign to end debt-fueled speculation and stop home prices from surging, while the government tries to lower inequality and keep housing affordable for the masses. And that's the key thing of what Beijing is trying to do here. But from a debt standpoint, this is kind of one of the keys we need to look at is the company has $89 billion outstanding debt at the end of June. About 42% comes due in less than a year, according to recent financial results. Their debt burden is the biggest for any publicly traded real estate management or development company in the world. And according to Julian Evans Pricker, a senior China economist for Capital Economics, it would send a wrong message, if authorities were to step in and prevent a default. And he thinks it's unlikely they would help a private firm in a sector they're trying to rein in. Now, here is some other interesting view on this debt is on Thursday, there is some $800 million resetting. And 90% of this is U.S. dollar denominated. We'll come back to this, but I want you to be thinking it's U.S. dollar denominated. What does that mean? Is Evergrande borrowed in dollars? Now, if you're in the United States, you don't typically think about borrowing a foreign currency. It wouldn't make sense. But in the outside the United States, you can borrow in dollars because it's the world's reserve currency. Now, why would you do that? Well, if the dollar goes down in value, right? Think about this. The dollar goes down in value. What does your loan cost? Goes down. What happens if the dollar goes up? The cost of your debt goes with it. So if you think the dollar is going down relative to your local currency, then you want to borrow in dollars. This is going to be a key problem that we're going to unpack. So let's continue on with how the story goes because China's property fear spreads beyond Evergrande, roiling markets. And hear this from Bloomberg. Now, what is this all about? Is this is your, you're hearing this Lehman Brothers-like catastrophe coming, another, you know, crisis. And look, Lehman Brothers is a bank. This is a property developer. Why is there a comparison here? It's not because they're the same. It's because everyone thought Lehman Brothers was a one-off event. In fact, if you may remember back in the markets, markets went down. There was a huge rally after that. And then a couple months later, as we roll into March of 2009, it turns out that, oh, wait a minute, there's some big problems and there's more rot. There's more cockroaches out there. And now that's what people are starting to ask. If Evergrande, this huge property developer, was effectively running a giant Ponzi scheme, taking money in and paying it out on effect, you know, and still not delivering properties, and they were just literally one step ahead, and all it took was Beijing just to tap the brakes a little bit, say, hey, let's slow this down, and all of a sudden they can't pay their bills. Now the question is, are there more roaches out there? Are these smaller companies, were they doing the same thing to compete against Evergrande? And that's the question they're starting to ask, because you start looking at the debt issue. And where is this debt held? Well, it's going to be held by investors. It's going to be backed by banks. And what happens when you get debt downgrades, right? When they downgrade the credit rating, what do banks have to do under the Basel III banking regulations that we've talked about? Is they have to have more collateral on hand. And what does that mean? That means more government debt. It depends on what bank it is. Obviously, if it's a U.S. bank, it's going to, you know, be U.S. debt. If it's a foreign bank, it could be their foreign debt, but it means more assets on the book to reserve against loan loss. Because what is the fear is those loans go bust and it breaks the banking system. And so what has China done so far to try to alleviate this? Well, over the weekend, the PBOC on Saturday injects 50 billion of yuan liquidity via a 7-day reverse repo and 50 billion yuan versus a 14-day reverse repo, leaving a net 100 billion injection. It's a working day this Saturday in mainland China as a way to make a three-day holiday in September, which is going on right now, with stock markets remain closed. So why would they do that? Is it to get the banks to lend over the holiday weekend? Well, there was a cash shortage anyways. This is not unusual during holidays for China, but what's the real issue? If you are seeing a massive property developer with a massive amount of debt look like it's going to go insolvent, stop paying its loans, what is the first question you're going to ask is, hey, how much of that debt is my bank holding? And if my bank fails because they've got all this bad debt, well, then what does that mean for my money at the bank? It means it's gone. So what are people likely to do? Go down to the bank and start pulling money out. And you start to see how the dominoes can tip. It's just a lack of confidence now that could really start a cascading event as consumers go down to the bank, start pulling money out. Now the banks run out of liquidity, and next thing you know, they're toppling. It's out of control. So Beijing puts a bunch of money into the banking system. So that way, when people go down there and withdraw their money, and more people withdraw their money, and the bank's still standing the next day, they go, oh, well, maybe it's not that bad. And they go and put their money back in. That's kind of the whole idea here. But let's keep on with this story, because things were so bad at Evergrande, they gave workers a choice, loan us cash or lose your bonus. Now, let me give you a personal tip here. If the company you work for says you loan us money or we won't give you a bonus, you probably shouldn't loan them any money, because it means they don't have any money. So what did people do? Well, they loaned them money and they went to their family. And here, this is great. When it was starved for cash earliest year, it turned to its own employees. Give us money or you won't get your bonus. And so what'd they do? They went to their friends, family, lent money. And then what happened? Evergrande is stopped paying back the loans. And all of a sudden, those employees are panicking, and it would make perfect sense. And now you're starting to see the China sovereign risk in five-year credit default swaps spike. Now, what is a credit default swap? Well, if you remember that movie, The Big Short, where Michael Burry was effectively betting on against the housing market, well, what was he buying? Credit default swaps. These are insurance policies against bonds. And so all of a sudden the price of these are going up, because what is it trying to tell you? Market is pricing in a debt default. In fact, even Wall Street and other speculators were in on this, because when we look back to Tuesday, where we see the futures market and you see a big jump in 10-year treasury futures. So they're taking long positions, hedging risk. You see in the 30-year, they backed off their shorts quite a bit. Again, hedging risk that there would be a flight to safety. And even the dollar, which is the big worry here, where's the dollar down here? You can see even speculators bought into the dollar because this is a risk off move. So now let's talk about how this plays out, because when you have a dollar denominated debt, did you think about how this plays out? What if you devalued your currency, right? If China devalues, what does that do to the dollar? It sends it higher. So can they devalue and bail out Evergrande? Nope, that wouldn't work. Wouldn't work at all. And so that is the issue, is now Evergrande would have to sell even more yuan to get dollars, putting even more potential downward pressure on the yuan, upward pressure on the dollar, raising their servicing costs. So we know that China deliberately, you know, tapped the brakes on this to slow down the speculation in the real estate market. Are they likely to do that? Probably not. What they found out is there's too much leverage in the system, and you effectively have a massive Ponzi scheme that even a small slowdown in demand is turning into a big problem. And now we're finding out, the market's finding out that these are dollar denominated debts. And what happens when US investors sell, or when people sell, where do their money into going? Into cash. And what does that do to the dollar? Puts upward pressure on it, making things even worse for Evergrande. Again, do you see the dominoes, how they can just start tipping here and rolling over? So I think a devaluation from Beijing is off. So the question is, what can they do is force the banks to accept different terms, force investors to accept different terms on the loans. We know Evergrande is out doing that now. The question is, will they be successful? The other question is, as there's a slowdown and panic in the real estate market in China, will that lead to other cockroaches coming out that we find that are problems with some of these other companies? So far, we don't know, but that is the ultimate risk, that this could start spiraling out of control. And that's where you get this layman-like example, is it's not one, it's more than one, to the point where this thing can't be stopped. And that is a fear, because you start, again, we talked about this last week. If you have an investment grade bond and from, say, Evergrande, there, that once was an investment grade bond and is now being downgraded to high yield, and your investment grade bond fund that bought that has to sell it. It can't hold it. And you see the stock price go down. What do investors tend to do when stocks go down? They sell. And it just limits Evergrande's ability to raise capital. The banks start to tighten up, say, we don't want to lend to anybody, or we want a greater down payment. And then you see the whole system start to unwind. And here's further evidence of this, because today, 8 bond deals were pulled on Evergrande contagion. So you see some investment grade debt was backed off issuance, because whoever wanted to issue this said, you know, this might not be the best time to do it. We're seeing disinflation coming potentially more to the US as LA and Long Beach ports start to test expanded night and weekend hours, trying to get these ships unloaded. And the faster they unload them, well, that means we see lower prices hitting US consumers. The Fed has finally liquidated its entire corporate bond portfolio. You may remember the Fed was buying both investment grade and high yield debt following the March 2020 liquidity crisis, and after Congress took away the cookie jar, I believe at the end of 2020, they were forced to unwind it. That is gone now. It wasn't a huge amount of money. I think somewhere in here it says, it was just $14 billion. Now, what that means is the Fed's balance sheet will continue to grow as we see this expand, so that as their balance sheet expands. But what's the real issue that is potentially coming now is a fiscal cliff. And you look at the markets today and say, why didn't they bounce? We've seen this before, where they came down and there's usually a huge bounce, they come flying back. And a lot of people do not believe that the government stimulus in the form of unemployment benefits and direct to consumer stimulus really had any effect on the markets or spending. There's this belief that some, I don't know what it is, but that doesn't actually matter. But notice now that all of these things are gone, that there's no flood of money coming into the markets. And the issue we're gonna see is this fiscal drag coming here from this chart from Bloomberg. And it says US government spent historic sums to support the economy in the pandemic. its withdrawal will create an unusually big fiscal cliff. And so what I'm asking and want you to be thinking about is what happens next? Do we see the unemployment numbers come down? Because if people aren't going back to work and getting jobs, then what is the response of the market? See, when you get these checks coming in on a regular basis and the market goes down, you can put some money in. But if you don't have a job or your benefits have gone down significantly, maybe even to zero, and what is your next move as the market goes down and you start spending through your cash? You become a seller. In fact, the more the markets go down, the more likely you are to sell. So what did we see today was a spike in volatility. Here's the VIX. And you can see, based over the last couple of years or last 2 years, this isn't a big move in the VIX. But what happens here is you have what are called volatility controlled product selling. In fact, if you own a variable annuity you bought, say, in the last 10, maybe 20 years, is a good chance that it's a volatility controlled product. And you may remember when the salesperson said, hey, when the markets go down, this thing has a mechanism where it will sell and put your money in bonds, and maybe even in cash. That's a volatility controlled product. When volatility rises, it creates a forced selling. And what you're seeing now is a market that's been run up so much that I believe due to fiscal transfers, now that that money's dried up, there aren't people there to buy the dip, and these programs need to mechanically unwind. They're this program, they have to do it. The risk now is they keep selling, and there's no one there to buy. And of course, we have the Fed meeting coming on Wednesday, the press conference announcement on Wednesday. Will they taper? I've been saying they're not going to, but now we have potentially more fuel for the fire of what's going on. Markets are coming down, contagion spreading in China, telling perhaps Powell, this isn't your time to make this move. Anyways, thanks for watching. Thanks for being fans. We didn't quite get to everything I wanted, but there'll be another day. So I will see you back on Wednesday. Of course, we'll see what's going on with the Fed and the Powell presser. As always, thanks for being fans. Thanks for supporting the show. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. See you Wednesday. Bye now. The content of this video provides educational information only. It's not intended to provide investor or other advice. Serials are not to be construed as recognition or solicitation by our selling security, financial instrument, or principles being a particular trading strategy. Serials is paired by Steve Van Meter, or personal capacity. Pins expressed in this video do not reflect the Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.